Welcome to another episode of What Else You Got with Mitch and Margot. Mitch, good morning. What you got?
I got an interesting one for you today. So, with all of the different fun weather anomalies that have been happening in the US, everything from tornadoes, floods, to lots and lots and lots and lots of rain that's been going on, how's your emergency preparedness?
Are you kidding me? What an awesome question. Hold that thought. I'm so glad you didn't tell me your topic ahead of time. Look at what I just bought.
Wow.
I kid you not. I just bought this. I haven't even taken it out of the box yet. This is not a promo. This was not planned. But the power went out for my apartment building, I guess last week. And it was so I was at work and I was so glad I was at work getting these notifications saying the power was out at my apartment because I was thinking, in today's world with no power, what do we do? I mean, I am an internet-based kind of person and so much of my life, my work, everything has become dependent upon the internet. But then the power was out for so long that even though I stayed later at work thinking, well, I'll just work extra hours today. I still got home and the power was still out, and another notification came in saying it was going to be at least another hour and a half. So I thought, okay, that's fine. I'll go for a walk, trying to make good, smart choices. Went for a walk, and as the sun was starting to set, I was thinking, you know what? I'm unprepared for this. I don't even have a flashlight. I don't have a lantern. I don't have anything. And I was trying to remember where I'd even put my backup battery charger for my cell phone. Because if you've got a cell phone, you can still access the internet if you want to. You can still call people if you want to. But what are you going to do if the battery dies? And so I couldn't even remember where my backup battery charger was, let alone whether or not it was charged. And so when the power was restored, the first thing I did is I went on, Amazon, and I asked Amazon, what are the best emergency flashlight options? And there were some pretty cool options. I decided to go with this one because it serves as not only a flashlight, but a lantern, and it is also a battery backup charger, so I could plug my cell phone into it. But a lot of good it's doing me in the box, because in theory I should take it out and make sure it's fully charged, right? In case there is an emergency and I need the, tool. So how funny you asked me if I was prepared for emergencies. Well, almost. I bought something, but I actually haven't charged it and prepared it for my emergency preparedness. How's that for an answer to your question?
That is awesome. And today I intend to have us go over a little bit of what goes into preparedness and what's needed. And all the items that will be shown and talked about will be in the description of the episode. So go take a look at it. And also, just for clarification and awareness, we do use Amazon affiliate links, so we may be compensated if you buy something. So go build your kit out.
Dang, I should have waited until there was a link to buy my lantern.
So yeah, it's one of those that, as I was doing some research on trying to make sure my data or my knowledge was up to date, I realized I'm missing a couple of things. But did you know that the CDC had a zombie preparedness guide?
What? I think I did know that, but maybe I wondered if it was fiction.
Well, technically it is fiction, but it's actually a legitimate thing. And I tried finding the exact one, but it looks like they've since removed it. But the actually, no, CDC has theirs. It was the FEMA that removed theirs. I couldn't find theirs. But yeah, so CDC has a zombie guide. It's a little comic book that goes through and helps out line out zombie emergency preparedness. And then the military and the government actually have a zombie preparedness plan, which that's one of those that I'll get into why that's super brilliant and weird all at the same time.
Okay, but do we first of all, let's establish some parameters here. Do we agree that zombies are in fact fiction?
So it's one of those that we cannot prove that there can never be the existence of zombies, at least with current modern medicine, but it is a common understanding and accepted viewpoint that zombies do not exist. Now, you may feel like a zombie when you wake up in the morning, but that's completely different.
Well, I not, might feel like a zombie because, I ate too many brownies last night, so I have a bit of a brownie hangover. But yeah, I guess that's another topic for another day.
But
I know I'm interrupting, but I have questions. So, what's your go-to weapon if a zombie? You talked about emergency preparedness, but I suppose. Oh, actually, I already know the answer to this question. I know what your go-to weapon is. I was thinking because my friends, if they ask me, what's your go-to weapon if there's a zombie apoc? I can't even say the word apocalypse tomorrow. Is it a bat? Is it a spike kind of thing? Because you have to put it through their brain, right? I already know what your go-to weapon is.
Yeah, the idea is don't get closes at the first thing, and
Oh,
from there,
don't get close.
yeah,
So you're saying intelligence is your first weapon against zombies?
yeah, because if they can't get close, then you don't have a problem. If they get close, that's where you have the problem.
Okay.
But yeah, otherwise, if I actually do encounter one, I am a f an, I am a fan of firearms just because it takes care of that problem pretty quickly.
If there is a zombie apocalypse and the end of the world is nigh, do you have a ammo reloader? Is that even what they're called? If the world is coming to an end, the ammo manufacturing companies are probably going to stop manufacturing. So, do you have what is that thing called? Is
A
it a called
reloader.
to make your own ammunition?
Yeah, I don't have that stuff yet. It's on my wish list, but I haven't gotten there yet.
Are you a prepper?
In the hardcore definition, no. In the mild definition of what we're going over today, yes. And when I say mild definition, it really comes down to 72-hour kits, what we're going to get into, contingency plans, and figuring out how you would handle certain scenarios.
There's a big difference between being a prepper and being prepared.
Yes. I don't have a compound out in the middle of nowhere. I currently live in the city, and it's definitely one of those that I work with the resources that I currently have. So, kind of pivoting a little bit from that, one of the big things when you are preparing your emergency kit or being ready for disasters is knowing what disasters you are preparing for. Because here in Texas, generally, I don't have to worry about blizzards, but I have been proven wrong with that one twice already, and it's very interesting. If you go back a couple years, there was the Texas power grid failure, which it's got two nicknames. There's Snowvid, because it happened during COVID, and then there's Snowpocalypse, which I prefer, which it's one of those that Texas wasn't ready for. A heavy snowstorm came through, and it just took out all the infrastructure where there was no power for about a week. There was food supplies were interesting, and it was tricky to just stay warm. And it's one of those that you need to know what you can expect, because normally what we expect here is a little bit of floods, a fair bit of hurricane, which technically San Antonio is where the hurricane evacuation route ends, so I don't really have to worry too much about hurricane, and tornadoes. And San Antonio is at the bottom of Tornado Alley, so we do get them occasionally. But it really just comes down to know what you're preparing for and what your environment is, but also be ready for the unexpected. Because there is a chance that there may be an earthquake here. I know up in Idaho, earthquake is always a risk. There's a risk of wildfires, and one that up until recently, no one paid any attention to, COVID or other kind of biological outbreak that would make things hard to acquire. And then if you expand a little bit more, you also have to be ready for some kind of civil issues, anything from a protest to a riot to just disruption for various reasons. You need to be able to be in a state where you can survive until help can arrive in some.
So probably I was thinking about this morning. when I opened my refrigerator, I mean, I suppose a normal person in the morning would open their refrigerator to have some breakfast, right? I laugh at myself when I open my refrigerator because if you looked in my refrigerator, you would see that I am well stocked for an emergency shortage of chocolate. My refrigerator has more chocolate than anything else. And yeah, even though I overdosed on brownies last night, I still started with a piece of chocolate for breakfast this morning. Yeah. So, speaking of emergency preparedness, seriously, this was not intended to be any sort of promo podcast, but one of my favorite chocolates. This is how I start every morning, is a piece of Equal Exchange dark chocolate. I love chocolate. So I'm always prepared for an emergency shortage of chocolate. But if all the grocery stores shut down tomorrow, I suppose I would probably lose a couple pounds because I do not have a emergency supply of food in my home.
So one of the things that I do kind of want to outline, because it's a perfect scenario that just about everyone has experience with, is the first couple of weeks of COVID. How did your area survive with the transition where stores were shut down, resources became scarce pretty quickly? How did Idaho and you handle the initial outbreak of COVID?
An interesting question because when COVID hit, I was at a different place in my life and I lived in a different place, still in Idaho, but I lived in a home and I had a reasonable food storage at that time in my life because I was doing a lot. I worked from home. I was eating very healthy and natural foods. I was making all of my own foods already at that time. So I had a pantry stocked of all of the ingredients necessary to make my own foods. And I had a garden that was producing well. And, when everything shut down for COVID was in March. And so I had a garden that was already, in process. And so food shortage was not an issue for me. I did not need to run to the store and stock up on anything. But when the news came out that things were literally shutting down, I did take a mental inventory of what I did and didn't have. And even though I knew the grocery store was going to be a bit of a crazy place, I decided to weather that storm and go to the store because I realized I didn't have any Advil. I didn't have any Tylenol, and I didn't have any ice cream. So I went to the store and basically, all the shopping carts were gone. It was the weirdest thing ever. I did find a parking spot.
Bag huge savings on your painting projects at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. DuraFighter interior paint starts at $27.75 a gallon. Get an additional 15% savings on all Dutch Boy paints when you put it in the bag. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
But the parking lot was jam-packed. All of the shopping carts were in use. The lines at the checkout registers were so long. I debated whether or not ice cream and, ibuprofen and whatnot was necessary. But I decided I really wanted some ice cream. If we were going to go into some sort of shutdown, I needed ice cream. So I got my ice cream and I didn't have a shopping cart because there were none left. So I was just holding it in my arms. I had ice cream. I had one of the last remaining packages of ibuprofen. It was just the store brand and a package of acetaminophen, store brand, because that's all that was left at that point. The shelves were already getting pretty empty. And I stood in line hoping that I would get through the register before my ice cream melted. So, and everybody else, of course, as you know, the big toilet paper shortage of 2020, everybody else had huge packages of toilet paper in their carts and they were, those carts were loaded high. Some people even had two shopping carts worth of supplies as they were standing in the checkout line. And people commented and pointed at me with my ice cream and my pain relievers, but that seemed really important to me. So yeah, I already had toilet paper, not because I'm a hoarder, not because I'm a prepper, but because, you know, I often shop at, well, used to shop at the big box stores. And so I always just made sure I had, a supply of toilet paper. It's just something I did. I was prepared for a lot of things, not because I'm a prepper, but because I just like to have certain things on hand. So going into COVID, when everything shut down, it was not a problem for me because I was living in a house. I had a pantry stocked with ingredients and food supplies, and I had a garden. So that all was a non-issue for me. And actually, it was pretty comforting knowing that I didn't have that sense of panic. I didn't have that urgency to get to the store, except for, you know, ice cream. But so I'm a secret introvert, and so, you know, going into lockdown really wasn't a problem for me. I already worked from home, and it was kind of nice to not have to come up with an excuse of why I didn't want to go out and be social. It was a nice little break for me, to be honest.
Yeah, and I like a couple of things that you brought up, mainly around the, you already had supplies where when the emergency occurred, you didn't have to go out and get food. You didn't have to go out and get all these supplies because you already had enough. Now, the key is you have your supplies, but those are your everyday supplies. Those are the ones that you are currently using. Those are the ones that you just naturally cycle through. And that's one of the key things is you have enough for today and a given period of time. And it's one of those that you keep that regularly stocked and you rotate it. The key is rotating. Now, one of the really interesting things is you need to have that period of time that you know your supplies can last. Because for me, when COVID hit, instead of going out to the store to stock up supplies, I, like you said, I took inventory of what I had. And I knew if it really came down to it, I had about 30 days of food in my pantry. Which in reality, that's stretching it a little bit. But we realized that there was a different food source that was available that people were overlooking that many businesses very much appreciated, where I actually went and ate at restaurants. Now, I couldn't eat in them, but I got takeout, I got delivery. And it was one of those that is a food source that was untapped, where the grocery stores, there's no food on the shelves. And that was actually one of the really interesting things is locally here in Texas, grocery stores were empty for probably about a month just because things were disappearing faster than they were coming in. But one of the local grocery stores, HEB, they did a phenomenal job of getting things on the shelf and keeping things on the shelf, where HEB was one of the first companies to actually have food on the shelf regularly during the first part of COVID. And it really comes down to, you can see how some companies have their emergency plan set up. And it's one of those that you need to make sure you have your emergency plan where you know what to do. Because I approached it where I didn't touch the food I had in case things kept getting worse. Where if restaurants went were completely shut down, that food supply is gone. Grocery stores, I didn't know how long they were going to be out of stock. So I switched, instead of eating the food I already had, I went and found a different food source so I could extend what I currently had in case things got worse. And it really comes down to knowing what's available and knowing what you have to get there. Now, one of the really interesting things that people don't really think of when they think of emergencies is a cash supply. And it's one of those that when you talk financial planning, everyone talks about a emergency supply of, or an emergency fund, but they don't really talk about what you do with that emergency fund. Because they usually say medical expenses or broken down car, but they don't talk about global pandemic where you need to purchase higher than normal priced items, purchase food from different sources. And one perfect example of this, where we had our snowvid, so after COVID, we had the Texas shut down, and there was just no power. Cash was king. It's one of those that people think, well, I've got credit cards, I can pay for anything. It got to the point where the only way for you to get gas, because the gas stations that still had their credit cards working had no gas. The gas stations that had gas was cash only. And I just happened to have cash and I was able to fill up my car. But it really comes down to know what your minimum level of supplies are. Even if that's just cash, that can be enough to get you through the absence of proper preparation.
Well, and speaking of cash, it's not just a good idea to have access to cash, but it's a good idea just in day-to-day preparedness to have some cash in your wallet. So even if you're typically a card user, or, you know, what's it called on your, oh my gosh, mobile. I am not old. You know, when you use your cell phone?
Yeah, Google Pay, Apple Pay, Tap to Pay.
Even if you use that all of the time, it's still a good idea to have at least a $20 bill or two $20 bills tucked in your wallet, because then if you are at a restaurant or a store or a gas station and their card reader just happens to be down, then you're prepared and you can whip out that $20 bill. Or it's also a good idea if you have a car that you drive regularly, stick a couple $20 bills in the console or the, you know, the glove compartment, because then that way, you know, what if your wallet gets stolen or you forgot your wallet? It's just good to have a $20 bill tucked away. And sometimes I like to be nice to my future self, and so I will take a $20 bill and stick it in the pocket of my winter coat, so that then when I go and put on my winter coat and I stick my hand in my pocket and I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, it's a $20 bill. Thanks, past self. And then I go and treat myself to something fun. So, I mean, it's just a good idea to have a little bit of cash, you know, in various places just in case you need it. But also, to that point, if you're talking about preparedness, don't just have cash. Make sure you have some commodities. And I don't mean like stocks and commodities. I mean like commodities that you can trade if something does happen. So like in the big toilet paper shortage, man, if you had some toilet paper on hand that you could share with your neighbor, you had a commodity that was tradable. So when you think about being prepared for the zombie apocalypse, think in terms of what item would have value in those times. So whether it's honey or vodka or, you know, some other type of toilet paper, whatever, something that would have value to trade for something you might discover you need. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And one of the nice things that you just talked about was have plans to your plans, have backups to your backups. Because you talked about having cash in your car if your wallet gets stolen. Well, you have distributed supplies. You have, we're talking about commodities. If cash wasn't good, you can start trading with other people and provide just a means to get what you don't have. And that's where when you start getting outside of your individual preparation and going to community preparation, you can have more distributed supplies where someone might have a garden, someone might have fish, someone might have a water supply. And it's one of those that I'm not saying go raid them. I'm saying work with them, share supplies, and that's where you're really able to maximize what you have. Because someone might be phenomenal at cooking, where they can take those two potatoes and make 12 meals out of it, versus you sitting there and going, I got a meal and a half. And it's just one of those that some people are able to stretch some supplies, and other people have the ability to go get like firewood or go collect other resources. And it's just one of those that you're able to just grow what you have when you're able to cooperate with others. And that's one of the things I really liked with COVID, is even though we were all isolated, each community seemed to come together and figure out how to get through it together while still being apart. And so there's so many different ways to approach the how do you get through some kind of emergency. Because whenever natural disasters come out, communities definitely come together and are able to take care of everyone.
Well, and a couple things there. I want to come back to the topic of communities, but also before I forget, I wanted to say also about cash, not just sticking like cash in your car and whatnot, but also when you travel, I know kind of off topic, but when you travel, make sure all of your cash or your cards are not in the same place. Don't put it all in your wallet when you're traveling. Have some cash in your, you know, tucked away in your shoe, in your suitcase. You have some backup plans, like you said, plans for your plans, backup plans for your backup plans. So that's important, especially when you're traveling. Communities are essential. And that's an important topic. What communities are you a part of? What communities are you allies with? What communities do you participate in? What communities do you contribute to? Because if you wait until there's a zombie apocalypse to decide, oh, it might be helpful if I were a part of a community. Well, maybe participate in some communities before you need a community. Maybe ask yourself, what communities do I belong to? What communities could I contribute to? What communities would I enjoy being a part of? So don't wait until you need a community. Think in terms now of what communities can I contribute to? What can I be a part of? Don't be a taker, be a participator or a giver, a contributor.
Yeah. So that's it for this one. So for our next episode, we're actually going to get into breaking down a little bit of what preparedness looks like, what your 72-hour kit looks like, and go over a little bit more of those supplies and preparation, just so that you'll be ready for your next natural disaster that comes across. But that's it for this one. With Mitch and Margo, this is What Else You Got, and we'll see you on the next one.